So we're doing now brand new topic. I guess you call it Hashkafa. It's a piece in the Rashba. The Rashba's Chidushei Perushei Hagadas. Okay, so I want to start just by endorsing this book. Of course, the Rashba doesn't need my endorsement, but you know, just there are a lot of books out there, but I think this is an excellent one. For it's the only, I think it's like one of a kind. I don't really know of any other book that like has a read like, or someone like Rashba explaining Agadatas, or anyone explaining Agadatas for that matter. But yeah, certainly, I mean, you got a book by the Rashba, and it's like, if you read his intro, he basically says it's like he's looking for plain, simple explanations. Yeah. Nothing. He doesn't want to get into Kabbalah because he's a Talmud of the Ramban. Mm-hmm. So basically, he's not getting into that. Everything he says here is meant to be understandable. You know, nothing esoteric. And there, look, certain things are a little harder than others. It's not easy, but at the same time, I mean, he's telling you basic fundamentals of Torah, and you see, like, you could kind of see Derech a little bit, how he takes apart a Chazal. So, you know, it's a nice little Hashkafa if you're looking for it. And they're also like bite-sized pieces. You know, they range anywhere from like a half page to like 3, 4, or 5 pages. They're not really, you know. So, that being said, so I was just doing last week's Parsha, Shalach, on the Raglam, so we're doing one of these pieces. Okay? So, it's on the Pasuk. So the Pasuk is basically, it's based on a Pasuk, and then a Gemara, and then the Rashba. So, it's after the Chesechei of the Raglam, basically Hashem said to Moshe that I'm going to kill this nation, and I'll make you into a great nation. Right? That was basically God's plan. To wipe out the Jews, and have me a second Yaakov, and start fresh from the name Moshe. Okay? Make Moshe into a great nation. Okay? They failed. Klal Yisrael failed. Let's make Moshe into a nation. So, Moshe said, he says, but Mitzrayim is going to hear about this. Right? You're going to hear about this. They basically were taken out of... They took the Jews out of this out of Mitzrayim, and they'll say, they'll talk about all the Nisim, and they'll say you took them out and did all these Nisim, but then you killed them all right at the last minute, so to speak, before you got into Israel. And they're gonna say, it says, "V'amro goyim shoshem l'shem l'chalemar." Well, the nations who hear about this are gonna say, "Mi bilti cholas Hashem l'havi as amazel aretz asher nishpa lahem la'yishchatem amidbar." It is for the inability, the ability from the Yecholas, from the absence of the ability of Hashem to take the Jews, this nation, into Eretz Yisrael, that even the land they promised to them, and he slaughtered them in the desert. Okay, so it says the nations are going to say that God realized that he couldn't do it, couldn't go up against, couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, instead of fighting and losing, God just made up a pretense. Oh yeah, I'm going to punish them for the sin. They're not going to understand the idea, the Sfar Onesh and all that. It just doesn't look good. It looks like God's backing out at the last minute because he can't handle it. He can't do it. So Vayata Yigdal Nekoach Hashem should be right to Lamar, and now the Koach Hashem should be strong, and Hashem Erech Apayim, and then he invokes me this Rachman as well. So basically, it's like a two-part argument. One of them is that the nations are going to say, you're unable, that's bad. It's like, Echol Azmi Echol Hashem. And secondly, Midas Rachman. Secondly, plead to Midas Rachman. Fine. So it's on this part of Mibilti Echol Hashem. So it says, it's on this Gemara. Okay, on this Gemara. On this pasuk, Mibilti Yicholas, that's what the Gemara is going on. So Gemara Lam Beis Amin Aleph, it says like this: Mibilti Yicholas Hashem, Yachol Hashem Yibayalai. So Yicholas is feminine. It should be said Yachol. Mibilti Yachol Hashem. Right? God doesn't have this, but God is absent of ability. It should have said Yachol. Mibilti Yachol Hashem.
Is that a real grammatical point? That that's just like established, like and trusting.
Well,
I thought the word is
Yicholas. Okay, that's what Rashba's noticed. That's Rashba. I mean, if you read this Gemara, though, what?
Yicholas.
Yes.
But doesn't that mean simply ability?
Yes.
So it's a feminine noun.
Yes.
So
good point. The Rashba's going to deal with that. Okay, but before you look into that, I mean, the simple reading of this Gemara is that it's saying it should have said Yachol. It should have said Yachol. It should have said Yachol. Rashba, that's my Rashba's question.
Yeah, but Yachol is a verb. Yacholet is a noun or verbal noun, if you wish.
Right. Okay, good.
Okay,
well, we'll get into this. We'll get into the details of this. But all the Gemara is saying is that it should have said Yachal. Shouldn't have said Yacholas. Okay, because Yacholas is... Right, that's all it's saying.
What Gemara is that?
The Brachos Slam Beis Manav.
Question. Could the phrasing Levilti Yachol, would be that acceptable? Would that also be acceptable in Hebrew, in the language of the Chumash?
Levilti Yachol? That's what the Gemara is saying it should have said. Oh. Built the Yachol, right? That's what it's saying. It's saying it should have said me built the Yachol. Why did it say me built the Yacholas? To teach you the following. Okay, I was going to say. But why did it say Yacholas instead of Yachol? To teach you the following. So it says, Amar Avalazar, Amar Moshe Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Achshav Yomra Umas Olam, Tashash Kocha Kinekeva. Fein Yacholatil? So the nations of the world are going to say, that to about God, that your strength became weak like a nekeva, like a female. And you're not able to save them. Yecholas is feminine, because that's what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. We built a yecholas. Like, so to speak, she doesn't have the ability, so to speak, right? It's using a lot of feminine lashon because they think that will be their claim. God is weak like a nekeva.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So Moshe said back to them, I'm sorry, Hashem said back to Moshe, but what do you mean? They already saw all the Nisim in the Gvuros of Yamsuf. They split the sea. Right, well, now I can't fight against the nations in Eretz Yisrael. Why? How would they legitimately make such a taina? Right? Isn't it a ridiculous taina? So the only explanation is that God's punishing them. Because you can't say God's not able, he just split the sea. Well, split the whole Eretz Yisrael sea, split everything. Throw the, right? I mean, he can't do that. He can do that. Well, it's the difference. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shalom. He said, Moshe said, Ribono Shalom, Adayin Yeshlan Lomar. Still they could say, L'melech Echad Yachalamar. He's able to stand up against one king. L'shloshem Echad Rachman Yachalamar. Against 31 kings in Canaan, there are 31 different kings that he couldn't stand up against. Okay? Okay?
Who were the 31 kings?
I don't know. So Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Shechazer Kadosh Baruch Hu Behodol LeMoshe. How do you know that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Moda? He agreed, he admitted. Right, he says, I salachti, I have forgiven them, kidvaracha, like you said, like your words, was his words, this argument. So Hashem agreed to the argument. And then Tani Dvei Rishmal, kidvaracha. Okay, let's skip that for a second. And he says, Omer Rav Arma Yitzchak, Men Lamech, Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Moshe Hechi Isani Vitvaracha. I'm sorry, Ulam Chayani. Ulam Chayani. He says, Ulam Chayani. Right, that's what the Pasuk says. I didn't read that part. But when it says, Atikid Racha, then he says, Ulam Chayani. But behold, Chayani means, it really means like by life, I am alive. The Malay Kod Hashem is Kalar. It's like a Lashon of a Shvua. It's like a swear. It's God's alive. Right, and he gives a shua that he's basically going to kill all this generation and just the next generation. So what the limud is, what's chayani mean? It says, Hashem said to Moshe, Hechi yisani v'dvaracha, you have given me life through your words. Chayani. I have a life. I'm alive because of your words. Okay, so that's the limud. Through Moshe's argument, he gave God a life. Okay? That's the Gemara. Okay. Yisani, Rashi says, Bifnei Umos. Doesn't really mean that God gave God life, but it means in the eyes of the Umos, he gave God life, because the Umos would have thought that he didn't have life. Okay, so it would be nice to understand the dialogue, the back and forth, right? Back and forth between Moshe Rabbeinu, and it doesn't really seem like it's such a great point, Moshe Rabbeinu's argument, right? 31 kings. Because, I mean, if God could split the sea, then what's 31 kings? That doesn't really make sense. Who cares how many kings there are? First of all, Mitzrayim was the world superpower. Right? And bigger than Canaan. I mean, like, the whole of Canaan isn't very big, and you have Mitzrayim is the power of the world. And also, I mean, okay, so one king, 31 kings, but it's not like he beat them through splitting the sea.
Right?
It needs some flaws. That was God's argument originally. So it was Moshe's counter-taina. Right? Okay. So hopefully through doing the Rashba, maybe we can. I mean, Rashba doesn't exactly take up the steps of the arguments, but maybe in doing the Rashba we could, you know, see if we could help answer that. Okay. It's funny back and forth, right? The whole thing is a little funny. And then the Keva, like, what's it adding, you know? The whole thing is... Okay. So the Rashba starts off with the point that Dr. Jay and Matt have noticed. Okay? He says, Da, ki lo ala al das Rabbi Elazar, she yesh hefers bedikta kalashon, bein yachol yecholas, shezeh zachar v'zen a Keva, shem yilis yacholas, shem, nofel bein lezachar v'zen a Keva. He says, don't think that Rabbi Elazar thought that grammatically there's a difference between Yachol and Yecholas as between the Zachar and the Keva, between masculine and feminine. Because the word Yecholas is a noun. It's the ability. And that applies, whether you're talking about a man or a woman who has the ability, it's called Yecholas. It's not called Yachol. Yeah. So it's saying is that Yecholas is a noun. So what's the Gemara's? And the noun is the feminine noun. It doesn't matter if you're talking about a man. A man also doesn't have the Yecholas. Just the way that the Gemara is just a feminine noun. The nouns don't change tense when you're dealing with a man or a woman. Right? Depending on the subject. Verbs do. But not nouns. So this is a noun. Yecholas is the ability. So it means to be built to Yecholas means from absence of the ability. Right? So what's the Gemara saying? So what is the Gemara saying that it should have said Yachol? It couldn't have said Yachol. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Rashba answers. He says, Rak shediktek diktuk amok. It's a deep diktuk. Deep grammatical point. Bein poel l'shem. Between a verb and a noun. Okay? Got it? Maybe a little more on sticking to the pshat is that, and perhaps something deeper here, because he says it's deep, but just that he means you could, the pasuk could have said, it could have used a noun or it could have used a verb. It could have said, me built the yecholas, God didn't have the ability, or it could have said, me built the yachol, or something like that. Me built the yachol, Hashem, God isn't able. And there's two ways to say that sentence. You could say God didn't have the ability, or you could say God wasn't able. Right? Those are two equally...
Ibeli yachol.
And then it would have been zachar. Then it would have been a verb, and then the verb form would have been a masculine verb. Because God is referred to in the masculine. Right? So the saying is, what those are saying is that it did not use the verb form. And it could be he's saying is the normal... I don't know exactly why. This is the part which maybe is... could be explained a little bit, is that the natural form to use is a verb. Because it could just be, it's more of like a passive way of talking. He didn't have the ability. Say, he wasn't able. Right? It's like, and there's something like more awkward about saying he didn't have the ability. The normal way it could be say is that God didn't have the ability. That's what they say, God didn't have the ability. But he's saying is, it didn't say that. It said, I'm sorry, it should have said God wasn't able. And then it would have been, and that would be the proper way to say it. But instead, it shows a more awkward formulation. God didn't have the ability. So why did it do that? Why did it go away from talking in a verb and an active way of a verb, and it's talking more like passively, so talking about it using a noun? So it's saying is because in the verb form, it would have been a zachar word. In the noun form, it's a nekeva. But not because... Yeah, the nekeva is used by both men and women, but it happens to be so it's a feminine noun. So it switched to the noun because then it could have a connotation of nekeva, as it's a feminine, it is a feminine noun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking of an example.
It doesn't mean amok, means he's thought into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right. He thought into, it's not just a matter of tense. Mm-hmm. He's thinking into, it's not which tense it used. Mm-hmm. It's a deeper point, is what choice of word was used. You know what I mean? Like in grammar, sometimes you think about the particular grammatical structure. He's thinking deeper, more than that. What... Not just what tense was being used, but what word did he use? How did he formulate a sentence in a way of a verb or in a way of a noun? It's like a deeper point which he's noticing. I don't think you'd notice this point if you didn't have the Rashba, you know? I mean, you may have noticed it. You guys have noticed it. I didn't notice it.
Right,
the question.
Rush off is like drush. Like he's just,
yeah.
You know,
darkening. Yeah, Yecholas. Yechol. Maybe you'd ask the question, isn't Yecholas or whatever? And you'd ignore it. Basically say, I don't know. Whatever. I guess not. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know that much about grammar or... whatever, but whatever. It's just Josh. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
But you see, he's taking it seriously, yeah. And he's saying it's based upon a grammatical, a real grammatical point.
Yeah. By the way, derech
agav. Okay, so let's get back to this point. Okay, so now he's going to say v'inyan. So that's just a grammatical point. But so what's the point of the thing? Okay, fine. So v'inyan ki adonu neviya Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom ha'yam ames l'paro v'amo. So Moshe Rabbeinu was making true, proving to Paro and his nation, that there was a higher cause, which is the cause of everything and the ruler of everything. And he separated this nation to his chelak. Okay, he would take care of this nation. Right, that this is my nation, my firstborn nation, Jewish people. That was said by the Makos. So that the Makos were so that it would become known that Lashem Haaretz, that to God is the world. And that was exactly Mo Paro's response. I don't know about God. I don't know God. I don't know Hashem. They thought that Yikla Yisrael was like any other nation. Right, that they're under the rule of the heavenly, whatever, heavenly bodies, or the mazalos, the constellations, or whatever. And the accidents would occur them, whatever the heavenly constellations, whatever, determine. Sometimes they would become strong because this power of the constellation or the mazel that was ruling them. Sometimes they would become weak, lower, because of the lowness, the weakness of that mazel, that constellation or whatever. Because a different, stronger mazel, a constellation, however, you know, a force, power overpowered the force or the mazel of the Jews. Right? That there was the Tsar, the officer of Yavon, and the officer of Pras. So they basically held that there were these, like, officers, or these, you know, whatever, rulers of the overworld, of the heavens, whatever they are, kind of mazalos. These things they used to worship. Their forces, their gods, their sub-deities, their whatever you'd call them. Right? And that each nation had their god, their sub-deity, and they basically... They thought the Jews had another sub-deity, just like all these other nations had, and sometimes one sub-deity would overpower a different one, and so on and so forth, and whatever would happen to nations on this world would be mirrors or reflective of the battle of the gods, so to speak, the battle of these powers. And through Klaus Moshe Rabbeinu, through the Dvar Hashem, basically taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim, he got them to admit and to realize Hashem HaTzadik. Hatiru al Hashem, pray to Hashem. Galyansu kamar Hashem nilcham lam Mitzrayim. Hashem is destroyed, won out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so it's basically saying is that the argument was that we don't have these sub-deities. We don't have these different forces and powers and all that stuff, but basically, he showed them that there's all there is that we just have God. The God is the Borei Olam, the Hashem. Hashem is like Hashem Avaya. The God is the source of all existence, the Creator. He is the one who rules, and he's the one who Klal Yisrael has a direct link to God, and then their success is due to him. Basically, the Makos and the Nisim were trying to show the fallacy of all those other forces, and to show God as the ultimate power, and Klal Yisrael is being saved. It was the nature of the miracles and the nature of all the events were such that it was to convince them of the fallacy of that idea, and to show Klal Yisrael as a whole different ideology, a whole different system. Okay, that was the basic background. Now Moshe is saying in his tefillah that if they get this punishment, there'll be an opening for the nations that argue that this the Jewish people, are not under the power of the cause of causes, may he be blessed, Shemanhigam, and they'll say that their ruler, Im Yechalto Yecholas Hashem. That it's not the power, their ruler's power is not the power of Hashem. Of Hashem. She'ilu Amar Mibildi Yachol Hashem. Because if they would have said, you know, he's explaining why it says Yecholas, the ability, as opposed to Yachol. He's saying, if it would have said Mibildi Yachol Hashem, God is not able. Hayamashma Shehem Odom Shuis Baruch Hashem. Means they would be admitting, again, Hashem means Yudke Vavke, Havaya, the ultimate creator, the ultimate source of all existence. So if they said we built the Yachal Hashem, it means they'd be admitting that Hashem is the God of the Jews. Right? Rakshma Chishim Bicholto. They say he doesn't have the, he is not able. He's not able. We built the Yachal Hashem. It means Hashem, who they're identifying, is not able. And maybe he is not able. It's a verb about Hashem. So that means they'd be recognizing Hashem, just saying he's not able. We say, Yafshar. But that's not possible. That's a contradiction. She'emodo shehu Hashem, because if you admit that he is Hashem, the source of all existence, lo tavok fir b'chalto, you can't possibly say he's not able. Because how can he be not able? That's the definition of Hashem, is the cause of all causes. The source of everything. She'ilu hu siba l'chal ha'sibos, because if he is the cause of all causes, emodo ha'zos, with this admittance, Lo yemaltu miyosam modim she'em aniyah lo yisparach. You can't escape saying there's nothing to prevent him. But if you say he is the cause, he is Hashem, which Hashem means he is the cause of all causes, you can't say he can't do something. So they couldn't say, Moshe couldn't say, they're going to say God is not able. Because God, by saying God, Hashem, you ipso facto mean he's able. It would be a self-contradiction. Rather, avodamo milti yecholas Hashem, by saying it is, so why is it better the other way? Milti cholas Hashem, saying God doesn't have the ability, who cares, right? It says, Tehei akfir bo yisbarach mitzad chulshas hakoach. Now the denial is from a weakness of strength. Ratzalomar, what does it mean? Acha shehu shehotzia me'eretz Mitzrayim bekocho. Once you see that there was this force which brought them out of Mitzrayim with his strength, and now what happened to them is this, they got destroyed. So this must be that it's not the Yecholas of Hashem. It's not the Yecholas of the ultimate existence. Rather, it's the ability, not the ability of God, not the ability of Hashem, rather it's the ability of some sub-deity, some other force. Who doesn't have the ability to stand before the officers who rule the 31 kings. Right? So he's saying, Vilti Cholas Hashem doesn't mean Hashem. We recognize Hashem, he doesn't have the ability. It's not the Moshe, you're claiming what took you out was the power of Hashem. The Shem Hashem, God is related to Shem Hashem. No, Vilti Cholas Hashem, this can't be the Cholas of Shem Hashem. Because if you were, then you would have been so victorious against all the kings. Because how could the Shem Hashem be lose to anybody? It's not possible. But he's saying, so how are you losing? Because it's not the Yecholas Hashem. The ability which you took you out, which you were claiming was really the Nisim were done by the ability of the Shem Hashem, of ultimate existence, was not really that. It was just a sham. You were basically the ability of one sub-deity, a very strong one. But when you go up against the 31 sub-deities, someone's going to have your number, right? Because you're just one sub-deity, but that's the way these guys go. I mean, even Zeus or whatever sometimes loses. I mean, they have these fights and stuff, right? But that's just the way this world, I mean, you add on a lot of them, someone's going to get constellations. They wax, they wane, it's so fun. You got Mitzrayim. You did all these infos, you got Mitzrayim. So your sub-deity versus Mitzrayim sub-deity, on that day of the Nisan, whatever it is, he won out. But that's when the world of sub-deities, when you start teaming up and you have tag teams, that's it, you're a goner. See, if you recognize that it's Hashem, the cause of all causes, then 31, the quantity has nothing to do with it. Who cares? You beat Mitzrayim, you beat all of them, they're all the same thing. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's argument, is once he showed that it was really Hashem, it was really God, then that argument isn't going to exist. But he's saying is now once you start with show weakness and you don't go into Mitzrayim, into Yisrael, they're going to say this is not really Shem Hashem. It's not the Yecholos Hashem. It's the Yecholos of some other sub-deity. And that's why he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, because he knew he wasn't going to be able to handle up against the 31. That's the argument. Right?
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Well, that's a big difference. Right. Okay, we still have to get the back and forth. Exactly. But this is, let's just see how, let's see if I finish out his point. Okay? The Amram, Tashash Kochu Kinekeva. So what's he saying is like a female? Because now so far it doesn't really have anything to do with that. He's just saying it's using Yecholas because of this idea of, because it's not the Yecholas of Hashem, it's rather it's Yecholas something else. What's doing the Keva? So it says, Dasha Zachar Poel Van Akeva, I'm sorry, Zachar Poel. So the Zachar is the actor. Van Akeva Sheba, which is Kli Shebo, Shebo Yif al Hazachar, Umarebo Pelosav, and the Nekeva is the tool in with which the male acts and shows expresses his actions upon. Right, that's a Zachar Nekeva, right? Like a real Zachar Nekeva. The Alkein Hushal Halashon Hazel Lechol Poel Mekabel. Whenever you have an actor and a receiver, so therefore the actor is called the Zachar and the receiver is called the Nekeva. Okay. Is Ratzel Loma Shapol Yikar Yizachar Ramakabel Yikar Nekeva. Now, Mashal Bechama Ulevana. For another, like the sun and the moon, there's a Mashal. Sheashamish Mechalek Ora Ulevana. The sun spreads out its light to the moon. Vein Ora Ulevana Mitzar Atzma. The light of the moon is not its own. Rak Shia Kli Mazir. It's basically a Kli, a receptacle to shine the light of the sun. Ubehagia Eleha Ora Chama Mazir. When the sun's light shines on it, it lights up. Like a glass or like a mirror, it lights up. It's not a light; it just receives the light and it reflects it. Therefore, Chazal call the sun the Zachar and the moon in a keva. He's saying they're doing a gadatas, which it says that way. Okay, fine. He quotes here on the bottom in Baba Basra. Whatever, but they're fine. Gantim son came a chalom shel Yosef, also in the dream of Yosef, shenim rabo Yaakov l'shemesh rachel l'vana. Right, it says there was a star, sun, and the moon, and the stars, and the sun was Yaakov, and the moon was Rachel. So you see, the Zachar is called the sun, and then the Keva, the mother, is called the moon. V'am rovine hashemesh v'hayirech v'acharas v'kochem v'shachavim li. It says, the sun and the moon will happen, and the stars are bowing to me. So Rashi was proving that that's what he was referring to, right? Because that was Yaakov's response. That response was, am I and your mother are going to come? So you see that the sun was referenced to Yaakov and the moon was referenced to Rachel. So you see the idea of that Zachar is used for the actor. So why is the sun Zachar? Because it acts. And why is the moon in the cave? Because it receives. Ulukavana hazu amru kan. And with this, they're saying, Achshav yimtu pesach. Okay, now they're going to find an opening. Lomar she'en kochu yisbarach ki koach hazachar. Shehu apoel. They're going to say, God is not like the power of a Zachar, who is the actor. Ve'enu mekabel koach me'akoch me'achar. Because right, God is the actor, it means he doesn't receive his koach from anyone. He is the ultimate power. He is the borei olam. He is the mamzi kol emtza. Right, so zachar means he is the actor. Rak, rather, they're going to say koach hanekeva. They're going to say he's like the power of a nekeva. She mekabels me'acher. Notice that's the idea. It's like a sub-deity is a receiver of power.
I mean, they're not going to say that Hashem's power is like Nekeva. They're going to say that whatever
power... Whatever power brought the Mitzrayim, right. The Jews out of Mitzrayim, is a receiver. Yeah. It's not a primary power, but it is a receiver, like a Nekeva. But Saloma, Shiomer, She'ena Siba Aliona, L'kol HaSibos. Right? He's not the cause of all causes. Rakishara Kofos, Shemekabla, Misiba Charas. He's the God of the Jews. Is merely like another call of power, which receives its power from some higher cause. The Igbru Pam Yeshbu Pam, and since it's a received power, so sometimes it will win out, sometimes it won't win out, because the nature of the power is received, and there are other received powers, and there's nothing intrinsically superior about it. Right? It may or may not win. Vizehu Tashisha Sanakeva, and this is the weakness of an Akeva, because the Akeva is dependent upon the Zachar, so that's why she's weak. Akeva is weak, she's dependent upon the Zachar. So she could gain strength through the Zachar, so sometimes she could gain strength, sometimes not, but a Zachar has intrinsic strength. And this is what God admit to him. The thing is that the Zachar, and I think that's the idea, the sub-deities, they didn't deny that there was an idea of a Borei Olam. They just said that the way that you're ruled by sub-deities. Right, because it says Milo Yerachem El Hagayim. It's like everyone recognizes there is such a thing as an ultimate God, but you can't worship that God. That God is beyond. That God doesn't relate to us. You don't worship, but that God is the source of the powers of all these other forces. So that God is the Zachar, and all the other forces, all the other sub deities, are the Negevos. So that's what it's saying. Is that Toshish Kochan Negeva means he's saying is that they're going to claim God is like a Negeva. Means God's power is a received power. He's like a sub-deity, he's one of those lower forces. And the contrary to Moshe Rabbeinu's claim that he's the Zachar, means he is the primary actor. Right? So that's what he's saying, Yecholas, that's the way he's phrasing it insofar as the Yecholas. It's not the Yecholas of Hashem. But that's what he's saying. He's saying simple pshat is what he said originally. It means the Yecholas of Hashem means it's not the Yecholas of Hashem. What he's saying is, but it's... there's also a connotation of the Nekeva is used, which furthers the idea. In other words, what the Rashi was saying is that, see, we misunderstood him at first, it seems. He wasn't saying, he could have said God is not able or God does not have the ability. Because he's saying either of those don't really make any sense. Because once you're saying God, Hashem, he by definition is able and he by definition has the ability. So he's saying is what it means, the pasuk doesn't mean either of those. What it means, we built the Yecholas Hashem, means it's not the Yecholas of Hashem. It's not the ability of Hashem which brought them out. Right? That's not the ability of Hashem. The force which brought them out did not have the ability of God, of Hashem. It had some other abilities. But it wasn't the ability of God. Right? So you couldn't have said Yachol then. That's the point. It means the force didn't have the ability of Hashem. Its ability is... Yecholas Hashem is like, I guess, a kappa. I don't know the grammar, but it's not saying God didn't have the ability. Okay, it's saying there's a unit. Yecholas Hashem.
It's not the ability of God.
Right.
This is not the ability.
This is not the ability of God. Right. It's not saying God didn't have the ability or God is not able. This is not this thing that brought them out of Mitzrayim is not the ability of God. Something else. Right. It's the ability of God. And that has to be Yecholas. You can't say Yachol. See, if God is God who's talking about God, then you can say he's a noun, he's a verb, whatever. But here it's not saying that. It's an entity called Yecholas Hashem, the ability of God. So it's saying it's because the being which brought them out did not have the Yecholas Hashem. So therefore, how do you use Nekeva? So how do you use the noun? How do you use Nekeva? So that's the case I'm saying isn't that self-defeating of the Rashba's point? So now what's the Gemara's limud anymore? So now what's the limud is it should have said Yachol. We should have said Yachol. It couldn't say Yachol.
I mean, you guys have to choose.
I'm not sure. But one thing is that he's not saying this is why he used Yachol as opposed to Yachol, because he's not saying that.
I mean, you think that's what they might say, though?
No, saying that... It's like, I think he's saying... No, because they couldn't... They'd have to say Yachol. There would be no other way to say it, right? But I think he's just saying there's like an illusion.
Yeah.
In the grammatical structure to the Zachar Nekeva. And that idea of the Zachar Nekeva is exactly the idea of what they're going to say. They're going to say that God is not really a primary Zachar power, rather he's just a received, another sub-deity who has a received power, which is the idea of Nekeva. So he's not explaining why he'd use that term, because he explained that he had to use that term. But it's like the Torah has many levels. And it turns out it's consistent with that the term is being used as a Nekeva term. You know what I mean? It's like an add-on to the Pshat. The main idea is, which Chazal are getting at, is the idea, the underlying concept of the thing is God and not a sub-deity. Or that they'd say it's a sub-deity. But it's like the Chazal are referencing it through the Zachar Nekeva. Because the Zachar Nekeva points to the idea. It brings out that idea. But once you think into it, you realize it's not really because of the Zachar Nekeva, there's a more fundamental idea in the grammatical structure. It's just like the Chazal are pointing you in that direction, because the idea of Zachar Nekeva points to the same idea. The thing is that God is a God being a Nekeva or God being a Zachar, means the god is a zachar, means he's the ultimate primary actor. His enkeva means that he's received power, effects of deity. So that zachar enkeva points to that idea, but then when you think into it more deeply, you realize that it's not really a zachar enkeva issue, but it's the words themselves had to be, so it had to be a chalas. You know? It's interesting. I mean, it's not a standard kind of a thing, you know, but the only way I could see what he's saying, it's like a looser type of a thing, you know. Even though he started off that way as Zachar Nekeva, you know. He says, when you think into it more deeply, you realize it's not just, grammatically, you could have used either one, you know, you could have said either way. And then you could say, you look at a simple grammatical level, you say, yeah, it shows the verb as opposed to the noun, and to show you this idea. But then when you think into it philosophically, what's going on, you realize there's something much deeper, which is why it had to choose Yecholas, not just because of the grammatical point, or, you know, because of the Nekeva. But there's a, just a hadu. Okay. Now then he has another one. The further next piece is basically a continuation of the same thing. It's one more paragraph. He says like this. He says, "V'ulam chayani amar v'yisalak hakadosh baruch Moshe echi yisani v'dvaracha." He says, "Moshe, you brought me to life, gave me life through your words." Kvar yadarta she'taro yisbarach haksuvim b'chai. Okay. Oftentimes the Torah says describes God as chai, life. Kamram chai Hashem, alukim chayim. Okay, God is alive. The Akavana Shehu HaChayim, he is the life. Amru Chay Anochi Lolam. What does it mean? He is the life. Ratzon Olam Anochi HaChayim Shechay Hakol V'Kiyam Hakol Bar. I am the life that all life and all existence is in Him. It's dependent on Him. V'Hu Yisparach HaChayim She'in Tzorach L'Kiyam Davar She'Kamenu Chalila. And He is the life that doesn't need Chalilo and doesn't need anything to keep Him around. He's like an intrinsic life. He is life. Okay? Means he doesn't need it. He's the life of the world. He is referred to as the Chai of the Olam because the Olam's life is dependent upon him, but he is independent. Like the Rambam, the Torah. Because of this idea, Ratzalomar Kiloi Ha'uma. Maybe they could fear about Yisbarach, because destroying the nation, if God would have destroyed the nation, it would, the Jews, it would have led to Kfira in God. Yisbarach Vlad Nuso. He tell God. I mean, it would deny, people would deny his power. He tell God in the eyes of the God, like he explained above. They deny the ultimate cause, the cause of all causes. Nimsa she'ino etzlam chai olam. So it would turn out that if that happened, if Kaiser would have been destroyed, the nations in their eyes now, they would not look at the God of the Jews as being the chai olam. He wouldn't be there. It would be imana ha'onesh, and through removing the onesh, tishar ha'odav emuna shehu adon v'chai olam. So then you're going to have the acknowledgement and the belief that he is the chai olam, the source of the chai olam. The kumam kemoshim is ames and is parsim umos im riboy hosos and mosim vayerach zaga shev mitzrayim, and he is the chay olamim. Right, and he is the cause, the continuation of the world, just like was verified through the nisim mitzrayim. V'yischazek od, and it would be further strengthened. V'yischaber ama yotzei lemudi tit ulevanim. That went, it would be even further verified that taking the nation which went from a nation of measuring sticks and bricks and mortar to being on top of the 31 kings. So it would be a further verification of the fact that God is not just another sub-deity. One sub-deity isn't beating the sub-deity of the slaves. Isn't going to beat the 31 other sub-deities. That's crazy. So it's going to further verify that God is the source of everything. V'nimsa Moshe shebitel ha'onesh b'tfilah. So through Moshe knocking out the onesh, ki'iluhu hasiba l'kiyum ha'emunah bo Yisbarach shehu chai olam. So it turns out he's like the cause of the continued of the belief in the God that he is the chai olam. He is the source of all existence. V'husha amar kan Moshe chisani d'baracha. So he's saying, Moshe, you're going to keep me alive with your words. What's his point? What's he doing with this last paragraph? Like, what's the question that he's answering? That this part of the Chazal is answering about this. What's the Rashba answering with this thing of Hechi Yisani V'dvaracha? There's an implicit question you could have asked when it says, Moshe, you kept me alive through your words. See, I'm thinking like this, that maybe he's supporting his pshat further. See, because if you learn the simple way, let's say you would have not had the Rashba. So you'd say is that they're arguing that God isn't able. God isn't strong enough. That would be the argument. That's what it sounds like, right? It means that God isn't strong enough. That was their time, that God isn't strong enough to bring the Jews into against 31 kings. Right? So then now Moshe is proving that he is strong enough. But it shouldn't say you've kept me alive through your words. It just say you've strengthened me through your words. In other words, the Umos Olam would have thought that God was weak. And now they realize God is strong. So it shouldn't say, Echisani b'dvaracha, you've caused me life. You've given me life, because God wasn't going to die, he was just going to be weaker.
Right.
But there are other nations, the gods don't die, I mean, they just get weak and strong and weak and strong. What does it mean you've kept giving me life?
Right?
It shouldn't say that. It should say you've given me strength. Tashkoch and Akeva, you give me strength now. So what's he saying? So why is it saying Chisani? Exactly. That's why he's that. The point is not how strong is God. That's the Rashba's whole point. This is not a question, an argument of God is quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moshe was not proving the Nisim and the flaws. He wasn't saying we have a stronger God. They're not trying to teach Mitzrayim that our God is stronger. Who cares? Just the same belief system. Trying to show a different idea. The idea of the Borei Olam. We relate to the ultimate source of all existence. Right? The Hashem. And that's the argument. Is there this reality? Do we have anything to do with this idea of Hashem? They had Loidati as Hashem. It's whatever. Maybe philosophically there's such a thing, but whatever. We have nothing to do with it. So the idea is, their argument was, the Jews, you don't have this Hashem. Their argument was that God was like in a keva. Built the Yecholas Hashem, it's not the Yecholas of Hashem. There's no Havaya here, it's in a keva, it's a received power. They were denying the existence of our God, of the God of the Jews. The Shem Havaya, the ultimate Borei Olam. That was their denying. They weren't just taking away his ability. You can't take away the ability of God. By definition, if you recognize the idea of God, he's a Kol Yachol. He has all the abilities because he is the source of everything. So their attempt was to render God into another subdeity, which means to deny the existence of the Shem Havaya. So therefore, Hechi Yisani means you've given me life. Means that be through Moshe Rabbeinu's thing, now his saving of Chai Yisrael, now in the eyes of the Umos, God still exists. The idea of the Chai HaOlam, this idea of God, the Chayim of God is a reference to his absolute eternal existence, an independent existence. He is the life of everything. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu maintained in the world through that. Through his tefillah, therefore therefore God's existence was maintained in the world. Not just his strength. That's what he's showing, is that the idea of God can't be watered down. You can't water down our God to make him weaker. That's not the idea of God. Our idea of God is a different qualitative idea. And that's what he's showing, that's what Rashba was showing, is that that was the whole dialogue. Everything about the Nisim was to show a new, that our ideas of God is a qualitatively different God from all the other ones. Nothing to do with the quantity. It's not just the strongest. Different. A whole new idea. You know, and he's saying, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, and God, Moshe Rabbeinu's taina is, that's in jeopardy. All the Nisim and Nafloos were in order to bring about that idea in the world. This a new idea of God, of the Borei Olam, that we relate to the source of all existence, to knock out all the subdeity, all that garbage, and to show that there's a deeper idea. And that was the whole purpose of everything. And now, through this, you're going to jeopardize the whole thing. And that's irrevocable. And then what? Then even if... That's what he's saying, is what's going to happen? Then you're going to make a nation of the Moshe Rabbeinu, and then... But then you're going to be stronger. But they're still going to look at you as just another subdeity who wins and loses. Once you win and then you lose and then you win and then you lose, then you're like another subdeity. It had to be that you're stronger than Mitzrayim, you're stronger than 31 nations. It would further the idea that this God is not subject to the whole world of subdeities. He beat the strongest nation, and then not only that, and through Nisim and Nafloos, but then not only that, he beat all of the 31 whatever. There's no way to beat him. He's a Kol Yachol. The one thing which we didn't explain, and the Rashba didn't really explain, is what was God's response? He says, originally, I mean, in the middle, he skipped a step, the Rashba, but originally God said, Moshe said, they're going to say that I did Bilti Yecholas. He says, what do you mean? I did all the Nisim and Mitzrayim. Right? The Nisim, not the Mitzrayim, the Nisim and Yamsof. I already destroyed the Mitzrayim, the greatest superpower. So Moshe says, yeah, but 31 nations thing, right? So what was God's argument? Right, I mean, if this is what was going on here, so then there's a middle step here about what was, you know, Like, that's kind of left out. Could it be? As it turns out, God's like giving the losing argument. Right, and that's what he says. It's a Salati Gebrechim, God admit to him. So what do you mean God admit to him? I mean, it was, why is God giving the wrong argument here? Moshe Rabbeinu should just give his thing, and that should be it. I mean, I realize it's a mashal going on here, but what's the... It's a funny... What comes away from the mashal is that God's giving an argument which isn't really accepted. Right? Okay, that's exactly what he was saying, is that what God's saying is, God represents like the objective voice of reason, so to speak, and means he's saying is that I did these Nisim of Mitzrayim. The whole idea of the Nisim of Mitzrayim and Yamsuf was to totally knock out all these ideas of the sub-deity. It says, in fact, it says to knock out that all those ideas, and they were designed in a way which it couldn't be explained through sub-deities. If you look into the thing of the Nisim, and there's an idea, the Ramban proves the Nisim show that the God is changes the laws of nature, show that he's the creator, because how could he change the laws of nature if he's right? Whatever. He's saying the philosophical import of the thing, if you really studied the thing, and you studied the Nisim and Yom Suf, and then you saw that God destroyed the Jews before they went into Mitzrayim, into Eretz Yisrael, the proper philosophical conclusion would be to say that God is still the Kol Yachol, and you see what he did by Yom Suf, and he was punishing the Jews. It's not enough. The 31 kings is not enough to shake that idea. Yom Suf was designed. Was that by Yom Suf? No, Yamin B'Hashem Moshe Avda. I'm not sure. It was enough. It was enough to show the idea of God. Okay, to show that this is not just a sub-deity. He knocked down Mitzrayim through the greatest Nisim of Fos. It wasn't even a fight. Sub-deities have fights. It wasn't even a battle. Or whatever. You'd study Yom Suf. Study Yom Suf, you'll see. It was done in a way that was totally to prove the point. And this is not enough to weaken it. And that was God's point. Is I did this. I already did this. Don't tell me again. Now they can go back to sub-deities. The whole culmination of the Nisim of Mitzrayim was to knock that whole thing out. But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, yeah, it's true. It may be true for a philosopher at this point. Is there's enough evidence there? Prior to this point, the philosopher may not know. You don't know. Now you've given enough evidence that a person now had to weigh out the possibilities. His intuition would say, "Yeah, you're right. It's God is not a sub-deity, and the punishment. It's a punishment." But it's saying is, but the idea of Hechi Yisani, the idea of Kiddush Hashem, is Kiddush Shema Ba'olam. In a large scale. And on a large scale, the world is not philosophers. And therefore, you've shown it, and it's true. But the nations are still going to give the taina. The taina of the sub-deities is gonna come up. They're going to judge it by right now, and right now they see they can't beat the 31 things. It's going to play into their idea of, oh, I understand, this is the sub-deity thing, and there's no sub-deity, and it's going to... It takes judgment to start to weigh how convincing was Yom Suf. Was it qualitatively convincing in a way that's irrevocable? There's no way to knock it off, or not? So that argument is going to fail. It's not going to work out, even though you've done enough objectively, but based upon the people, it's not going to work. And that's what he says. That's what God meant to Moshe. It's not saying obviously God knew the point, but it's portraying God as saying that because God is. Is like, so to speak, the objective from the objective party. That's what it's saying. But Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the argument that this is what the nations are going to say. So the Moshe said, "V'amro Agayim Asher Shom Hashem Halema." The nations are going to say this. This is what they're going to say. It's a good example of this. The Rashba. I mean, I'm explaining stuff, but I mean, for the most part, I'm explaining the Rashba. I mean, I'm bringing it out a little bit and whatever, but. I mean, it's basically, you see, it's like fundamental stuff about the Parsha, talking about what's, you understand the Parsha in Shalach, you understand what the Mitzrayim, the whole Nisim and Mitzrayim were about, you understand the philosophical ideas about God, and so there's a wealth of ideas in this one piece, and all the pieces are like this kind of thing, you know, getting down to like basic fundamentals about everything, you know. So that's,